I want to read from John's Gospel, the end of chapter 9 and part of chapter 10. Not a gospel preaching message, but I want to apply it tonight because it's quite simple of what I'm going to say a few words about. Quite simple. So if we can start reading from verse 39 of chapter 9. And Jesus said, "For judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not may see, and they which see may become blind." And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If ye were blind, ye would not have sinned. But now ye say, we see, your sin remains. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that enters not in by the door to the fold of the sheep, but mounts up elsewhere, he is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has put forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger, but will flee from him because they know not the voice of strangers." This allegory spoke Jesus to them, but they did not know what it was of which he spoke to them. Jesus therefore said again to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and shall go out and shall find pasture. The thief comes not but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he who serves for wages and who is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf seizes them, scattering the sheep. Now he who serves for wages flees because he serves for wages and is not himself concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and am known of those that are mine. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold, those also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. On this account, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it again. I have received this commandment of my Father." What brought me to this passage was the question of the voice. The voice. As a voice tonight, crying out, as we have heard earlier, in the wilderness, and it wants to reach you. It may have reached many in this room, But one gospel preacher said, I cannot assume that everybody in the room appreciates the grace of God to its full. Are you forgiven? Do you know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness of your sins? Do you know it? In actuality, have you experienced it with a shepherd? Have you come to the shepherd? It's a shepherd, really, I want to speak about. The shepherd of the sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Do you know his voice? Let me say something. There's a farmer who had kept sheep. And he took someone with him, a friend of his, into the field. The farmer got busy, and he said to this colleague of his, take the bucket and call the sheep so they can come and feed. Not one came. Not one. Why? Because they didn't. It wasn't the voice of the shepherd. Dear listener, do you know the voice of Jesus? Is he your shepherd? As a boy, that's a few years ago now, I used to have to sing for my parents and for visitors, listen to the voice of Jesus. Oh, so sweet. Is it to you? Is the voice of Jesus? And there's another hymn, isn't there? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. Is he calling for you tonight? Are you outside the realm of divine blessing? Are you? Or do you know what it is to be safe in the arms of Jesus? Safety for you alone is there. This world in which we live, as the hymn writer puts it, is a wilderness. Why, dear listener? There's a man, wasn't there, in Luke 10, Luke 9, Luke 10, who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he fell amongst thieves. And he was robbed. Half-dead state. Is that you? In a half-dead state? And there's another one who came up to him. And what did he do? Poured in oil and wine. And someone once said, he was cured, he was carried, and he was cared for. Do you know, dear listener, that can be your blessing tonight. You can be cured from your sins. You can be carried home to the inn, and you can be cared for. The gospel preaching is a gospel of divine blessing. Do you know, I think there's one person who heard that message of Jesus, that story of Jesus. And do you know what she is doing later on in that chapter? She's sitting at his feet. Have you sat at the feet of Jesus? And what did she do? She listened to his word and didn't say a word herself. And so, that is the shepherd I want to present to you tonight. John presents him as the good shepherd. Doesn't say there's another one. The good shepherd means that there's only one good shepherd. And what it says here in our chapter shows to us what he has done for you and for me. That is why I said, although I read that I wanted to speak about a voice, really speaking, it's a shepherd we want to speak about. He's the voice, yes. What did he say about himself? This shepherd, he laid down his life for his sheep. Do you know that's what Jesus has done? If you're not one of his sheep, let me attract you into that fold, into that realm tonight. You know, in Isaiah 40, he says about the lambs, he will carry them in his bosom. You know, this is the tenderness of the love of the shepherd that I know. And that is the reason why I seek to give you a sense of his attractiveness tonight. His love is unmeasurable. His love took him into death for me. His love caused him to shed his precious blood for me. He came into this world. If I was the only sinner in this world, Jesus would have come for me. For me. And I think that is something that you and I, dear Christian, need to appreciate in a deeper measure, that Jesus came for you and for you alone. That's the footsteps of my Saviour. He came in such a lowly way. Foreknown according to Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us. For unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. Oh, the glory of the gospel. The glad tidings of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the way Paul opens his epistle to those Roman saints. The glad tidings of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Is he your Lord? Is he? That's what he's looking for from my heart. And he's looking it from your heart as well. And as I go back, I'll say, he has done far abundantly more than you can ask or think to secure you for himself. So it says here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For the sheep. That's what he's done. He came in such a lowly way. He went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what it says. And he went into many a sphere, a scene. You think for a moment, dear listener. There's a man, no one could control him. No one. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He said, Legion. Jesus was able to heal that man. And where was he found? He was found at the feet of Jesus. What a place to be, dear listener, at the feet of the Saviour. And there are many other incidences in God's word where it shows to us those steps one by one. On to the cross, to Calvary's, to finish and complete the work that he was given to do. Just think for a moment. What did it say? Unsparing judgment in that dark lone hour, in love he bore. Laid down his life, destroyed death's fearful power. His work is all. Atonement. What does that mean? Atonement made. What does atonement mean? It means a covering. It means that if you come in repentance to a holy, sin-hating God, you can come in repentance. And what does God do? Does he tell you, you've got to wait a moment? No. He doesn't. The precious blood of Jesus is before the eyes of a holy God tonight. And you can be cleansed and washed from your sins because of it. Go back to the Old Testament. It will speak of the blood of the sin offering being sprinkled upon the ark once and before it seven times. The work is complete. You don't have to do anything, dear listener, except as a hymn writer put it, repent. Repentance only God requires from man. Wondrous grace, the God that I present to you tonight. The one who came in the person of Jesus himself. And faith in Christ. So this shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He did it. The word voluntary is wrong. but he did it so that you and I might be freed from the guilt of sin. And it says here about, I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine. But it goes on to say, I laid down my life for the sheep. And it goes on to speak about that there are the others that I must bring. Are you amongst those? Have you been brought to the feet of the Saviour yet? Are you amongst those who haven't come? What does the hymn writer say? Oh, come to the Saviour. He's calling tonight. No need now to linger. You don't have to wait, dear listener. What did it say in Isaiah? Beautiful words that Isaiah uses. Come now, let us reason together. One gospel preacher once said, God would come and sit by you on the chair by you tonight and reason with you about your sins. Come now, he says. That's the word of God to his earthly people, but it's a word to you. It's a word to me. Thank God that I've had my sins met. And they're met at Calvary's cross. The ransom's been paid. I have to come. You have to come in the repentance. There's a passage in Job, you know, that speaks about a ransom. You know, God speaks once. He speaks twice. And men perceive it not. That's what the word says. Do you perceive that God is speaking to you tonight through the gospel preaching, through the reading of God's word? It says, and men perceive it not. But it goes on to speak about God speaking. And he said, I have found a ransom. A ransom's been found for you tonight, dear listener. The ransom's been paid. The guilt, the weight of your sins has been met. It's been met by Jesus. Been met by Jesus on Calvary's cross. My sins have been met, I'll be quite honest with you. I can remember that the gospel preacher, many years ago, and the hymn he gave out, God's, oh, the love of God is boundless. Perfect, causeless, full and free. Doubts! Have your doubts vanished? Mine have. Went those many years ago. All my guilt was put on him. Can you say that, dear listener? Most in this room can. Thank God for it. But the gospel goes out to those of us who may be slightly under the weather, as we may say, so we might be encouraged and commit our lives to him afresh. Because, you know, as Christians, we need to do that from time to time. Come to the feet of the Saviour and acknowledge him in all his beauty and supremacy. And that gospel preacher, whom I was speaking about, who gave out that hymn, oh, the love of God is boundless. I can remember the dear old man now. He finishes gospel preaching, not like the rest of us, sit down on a chair. Oh no. He walked slowly to the back of the room and said, if the Lord will, the gospel will be preached again in this room next Lord's Day. It couldn't be guaranteed. And tonight, dear listener, I'm telling you, that this might be the last time the word of God goes out from this desk. I do not know. Make the best use of the opportunity offered by God to you tonight. You might not have it again. Don't be as it speaks about God's earthly people. Harden your heart. What's it say in Hebrews? Today, harden not your heart. Listen to the voice. Listen to the voice of Jesus. I'll go back to the hymn I sang as a boy. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Oh, so sweet. There's nothing so precious and lovely as to listen to that voice and to come to him in repentance. As the hymn writer puts it, God is waiting in grace. But you go on a little bit through Isaiah, and you come to chapter 53, don't you, eventually? Chapter 53. And what's it say there? Who has believed our report? A question. Or believed the report that has come out through Isaiah's, like you might say, preachings? Have you received the report that has come out in this room for many times? Have you? He shall grow up before him as a tender sapling, as a root out of dry ground. But what does it go on to say? All we like sheep. That's what you got in John 10. All we like sheep have gone astray. All. And the word all means all. You cannot elect yourself out of it. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Paul says in the epistle to the Romans. And it's God's word and it's true. You cannot elect yourself out of God's word. It's there in all its accuracy. But that's what Isaiah says. In chapter 53, all we like sheep. You've got sheep in our chapter. And I can tell you now, sheep go astray very, very easily. You say, how do you know? Because I've been on a farm where there were sheep. I know. And I know for myself that I have been like one of Isaiah's sheep moved away. But you know, we have a shepherd and overseer of the soul who can bring you back. Peter speaks, doesn't he, of not only the John speaks of the good shepherd, there's the chief shepherd, and there's a great shepherd. This shepherd is truly, I was going to use the word wonderful. There's not a shepherd like him. He's the shepherd of the sheep, and no one can control sheep like this shepherd. But why? He's given his life for them. They commit themselves to him. Have you done that? Have you come to the Saviour? Found in him full and absolute salvation? He's done all the work. You've got nothing to do except come in repentance. And he'll give you, as the hymn writer puts it, God's secret things long treasured up in heaven. He'll give you what he secured for you and for me. So you can enjoy the blessings that you can enter into. You can enjoy them. He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. God does not leave you, the Lord Jesus does not leave you in a vacuum. To search your own way, he gives you something so that you can use as under his wing. One gospel preacher once said, what God gives you when you come to him in repentance are two things. The forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you, do you need anything else? Do you need anything else? No, because you've got the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit can help you into everything else that God's made available for you through Jesus and his work at Calvary's cross. All the blessings of sonship you can enjoy because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, there shall be one flock, one shepherd. I don't want to go into the details of that. All I wanted to bring to your attention is the glory of the shepherd of this, the shepherd we've got here. The shepherd of the sheep. And so I'll leave it with you. May you know something of the shepherd I've been trying to present. He isn't harsh. He hasn't got a, he did, he's not harsh shepherd. He's gentle. Do you know what he says of him? Meek and lowly. That's the way he came. Meek and lowly, riding on an ass. Well, may we be blessed for his name's sake.